And welcome to another dialogue session, another exploring dialogue session with myself, Robert Crichton, and special dialogue guest.
Yeah, it's me again, Liza Graham, all things to all people in London.
And we are in a secret location in London, in a kitchen, this time with tea. Last time we recorded one of these, it was coffee, but this time it's tea. And we're going to start on three dialogues. We're probably not going to do all three dialogues. Certainly this session that you're listening to will only be one of these dialogues, but they come as a set. There are three dialogues in verse by John Fisher, a student in Oxford. And I can probably find a date for these as well, but I'm going to have to, because the microphone is perched on literally on top of our laptop, so I've got to be a little careful with the actual moving of things. So I might have to... There might be weird cuts here. No, that's not the thing. Oh, bugger. I've closed the file. There we are. So I probably edit all this out later anyway, except for the patrons. The patrons will probably get all this quality material. Going down. So this is from 1558. 1558. So we are on the cusp of... We're at the cusp of Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Presumably once in it. So I don't know which doctrinal path this is going to take. I've no idea what these texts are going to do. There are three texts, and the first one we are going to do is
Gelasimus and Spadeus.
Yes, we were also the slight problem with Spadeus is it does sound like it's going to be something potato based, but obviously yes. That would be anachronistic.
My Latin isn't good enough to know what these names mean. I assume they mean the fun one and the serious one in some way.
Yes, we will get some data on that, I'm sure, as we go forward. Actually, looking about it, going back to the file that I have just closed, which had an alternative title for this, so I'm just going to scroll back down to that. This is quality content that we're producing here. So this one, I think, is either a dialogue on idleness, as an alternative title, or a dialogue on wisdom and will.
I think this is idleness, because I think wisdom and will is one of the other ones.
Yeah, so, in fact, wisdom and will is one of the other ones. So this is idleness. So I get the impression I know which way, who's going to be idle and who's not. I think it's your turn to be the hectoring one, who's full of approbation. I think it's your turn to be, so that means you're spudger-like, and I am delicious ice cream. I think that's how those two names work.
Spadeus and Gelasimus.
Yes. So, we'll start the dialogue with you.
Ever playing, Gelasimi. Lord, when will you be wise and sad? In scholars should be modesty, but you play ever the wanton lad.
Is this your first salutation? You appear some quarrels to pick. In few words, make relation, wherefore with me you are so quick.
I must in few words show my mind wheresoever I chance to come. Idle and vain I do you find. Lo, here I have told you the sum. And I know well that your parents, to learn virtue, put you to school. You defraud them of their intents, for daily you play the wanton fool. Also, sitting at school among us, what do you else but play and toy, so that of you all scholars say thus, Gelasimus is a wanton boy. Tu levior follis, tunc cum sive pondere succi. To you I may this verse apply. Succi, to you I may this verse apply. You are lighter than leaves without sap. For good exercise you let go by, and your own self in idleness wrap.
Of you God send your friends much joy. I think you will prove a sage, Solon. O God save you, and sweet Saint Loy, you are like to be a wise man anon. See you not low a good body, when did my friends to you complain? Meddle you with your own study, I do not your matters disdain. Multa facere et ubi quae putridum. About many things busy to be in every place, quod he doth stink. curious you are in checking me, but of yourself you do not think. Now, sir, because you do thus report, when did you me so idly find?
Every hour, full of play and sport and light as feathers in the wind.
If I play, I am not idle indeed, as yourself have testified.
Idle as he, as saith Saint Bede, which is never well occupied.
Interpone tuis inter dum gaudia curis. Sometime, saith the wise man Cato, interlace mirth among thy cares. Wherefore do sober men unto plays go, but to ease their minds in great affairs? What saith the wise man Tully? Gaming and pastime we may use as sleep and other rest truly, which no honest person will accuse. Dum fata sinunt vitae... No, vivite late...
This is what you get when you don't pay attention in Latin class.
Yes, absolutely. Doth not Seneca this verse write, while fortune suffereth, be merry? And so I will, for all your spite, play and sing Hey Derry Derry. Something damaged, era numis vita est crastina vive hodi. Yesterday's life is very late. Live today, as much to say. Be merry and play with thy mate. Yea, forsooth, and that every day.
As your memory I do commend, in that you can authors rehearse, so I must needs you reprehend because you abuse a good verse. I mean the verse of wise Cato, which you did English competently, but the sentence of Cicero you passed over negligently. We may write well use play and game as we use sleep and other rest, but for what cause may we do the same? In that place it is manifest. Then, saith he, when we have satisfied other matters both weighty and grave, also when we have rectified evils, won't public weals to deprave. For he saith in his offices that nature hath not brought us forth to use plays, games, and fantasies, which are matters of nothing worth, but rather to severity and to more weighty studies meet for men in authority, and health for souls and bodies.
What speak you of senators, in whose hands common weals did depend? They were great learned orators, whose wisdom we cannot comprehend. Quod medicorum est, promitiunt medici tractant fabrilla fabri, that longeth to physicians, thereof they promise and talk largely. Carpenters, for their furtherance, talk and treat of carpentry. We are lads, scholars and students. Let us talk, and as lads is seemly, so shall we please God and our parents, and men shall judge well of us truly.
Well, of idleness we began to speak, whereto you are much given, I do see. From that I covet you to break, that more studious you might be. A few sentences you have caught, which plainly you do much abuse. You apply them not as the authors taught, but your own idleness to excuse.
You talk here like a great divine, and altogether of idleness I pray you vouchsafe the same to define, because it is so great wickedness. And before we go on to that point, I think we should pause. Normally I should bring a little bell with me, shouldn't I?
There's a cat. We could poke the cat and see if she makes noise.
There is a cat. For the listeners at home, we have one of our learned professors joining us to tell us much on the subject, the cat's opinion of this particular
well,
text.
We're talking about idleness here, and the cat has parked herself in my lap and is very relaxed. So
quite idle.
I think that we know where she falls in the debate.
Mm. And it's interesting that this debate is largely about how debates function. because it's this thing of how you're using sources. I've quoted from Cicero, I've quoted from Tully, therefore I am right. And you're going, well, let me just take you up on the point of what you're saying, and you're misusing this quotation, and you're misapplying what it means. And that's not unimportant thing. I mean,
we're both students. We can both quote the Latin authors. What I'm saying is that you're misquoting them in order to justify your idleness. Cicero said that you were only supposed to play games and have fun after you'd done all the serious stuff.
Mm.
And this is the mistake that your character makes because he doesn't do the serious stuff up front.
Yeah, I haven't done the homework before I go out to play. That's the big thing.
You just skipped over it and went out to play.
Yeah. I think there's an element of my character sort of going, well, how do you know? You know, what do you know about my life? Are you watching me? There's a vibe of that to some of his stuff.
There is, and also he's being taxed for gaming, and of course, for a modern day student, you know, gaming is also a thing where they waste a lot of time. The games have just changed.
Yes, and the way money is exchanged in those games has changed as well.
Yes, it has.
I need a power up.
But also, Spodaeus very rightly raises the point that Gelasimus's parents are paying his college fees, and that he's letting them down by spending their money on being idle.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, I think I'm putting a good defense. I mean, this could go either way. I know the text isn't going to go either way. I think the text is going to go in a very specific way. But I think there's a defense of idleness is available here that is actually reasonable.
Yeah, I'm catching some echoes of Erasmus's praise of folly.
Mm. Yes, it was very much in vogue and one of the sort of starting points for a lot of we haven't done any actual Erasmus yet, but we will reach some.
This could be Rotterdam or anywhere.
Yes.
That was for the two people who still listen to the beautiful South.
Bless them. Bless them. Okay. I still listen.
Yeah. But we could sing some.
Yeah, we could. Except we'd have to then cut it out of the podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm not paying royalties. I mean, I think we can go fair usage with that quoting of a few words there, but you know, anything more. Whew. Start using the tune. Oh, that's a whole nother kettle of fish. Anyway, we should continue. So, I've challenged you to say what's really so wicked about...
What you've challenged me to do is define my terms. You say... You're really down on idleness. Why don't you define idleness for us? This is classic dude on the internet debate me strategy.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you define... Anyways, Spodaeus is very glad to have this opportunity. He's glad you asked him this question. In the Tusculane questions of idleness, thus saith Tully, as touching all honest actions... Idleness is an ignory uncomely, also an irksomeness of the mind, when any good matter is begone, and therefore seeketh some other kind, whereabout vainly it may run. As thus you are set to school now, to learn both virtue and science, this is a good thing begun in you, godly as parents' will and pretense. But... Anon, irksomeness of heart and loathsomeness of well-doing cause you to take another part and to give yourself to playing.
A certain wise man giveth warning, not overmuch in study to stand, for to somebody art and learning are as a sword in a madman's hand. Doctrina celesti et gladio insanis similis.
Truth, a wicked person without doubt, to whom no honest thing is good, mischievously uttereth learning out as one doth a weapon that is wood. But I would have you to note two things. First, the goodly sequels of students, some have been counselors to kings, yea, though they have come of poor parents. What were the chief counsels of Rome, I mean, when virtue flourished? learned and grave, in judgment and doom, who their communality most nourished. 1,000 I could rehearse by name, of whom I read in divers stories, which through learning have come to fame and attained unto high glories. Qui probus atque idem doctus diademente talem, quis dignum neget, hic aliis precellit ut aurum est oricalco nobilis vitroque pyropus. He that is good and learned withal, who will deny such one worthy to enjoy an honour royal which we call a diadem, truly, for such one doth other excel as far as gold doth the copper pass, and as precious stone or beryl excelleth counterfeits or glass, yet must learned men come of poor lineage. Example of Mark Tully, by name. Virtue is a most sure heritage, for that enhanceth to honour and fame.
Truly your words make me to smile. You speak not of the ends of the same. Either they were driven to exile, or else suffered death with shame.
Impute that to ingratitude. Mark this, such is ever the reward of the ignorant multitude which did never virtue regard. Suffered with shame, say you, forsooth no. Happy are they which for virtue's sake suffer death or into exile go, so that patiently they do it take. Also, I will tell you as I think, he that is endued with doctrine shall never want money, meat, nor drink, so that to virtue he do incline. But the fallible chances of fate he shall be able to withstand. And if he be deposed from his state, learning preserveth him in any land. Ipse tamen vide nunquam et vix credere possunt, vel perisse fame, vel mendicasse desertum. I did never yet see, the poet doth say, and scarcely believe it I can, that for hunger any shall decay that is indeed a learned man.
And we'll pause there again. So yeah, I'm sort of making this argument that, you know, this kind of life doesn't necessarily, your examples of the outcomes, the real world outcomes, are not very, very good.
Yes, that Spadeus has given Gelasimus examples of how learning can advance you to from a poor background to a great estate. You could be counselor to a king. And Gelasimus has said, really, but how did those guys end up? They were either executed or exiled, and is that what I wanted? Spadeus has said, well, yes, but the ignorant multitude did that. And I think that's pretty much makes Gelasimus' argument for him, right?
Yeah, it's not a good standpoint here, actually. This does feel like an interesting battle as people are going down slightly blind alleys at times here. This is interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's showing this, you know, there's the little bit of hint of, you know, this, he shall never want money, meat, nor drink. Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know, it would be nice if studiousness were its own reward. Wouldn't that be nice? Don't you think it would be nice?
Anyway, we shall see. Let's pick up where we were. Friends, Spadeus, I will be plain. To obtain glory, I bend not my hope. They that covet honour to attain, at noondays for the way do grope. Ergo honour, fama, et myrtilis, glory allow us. Somnia sunt prosus nil conductentia. Honour, fame, worldly glory and praise are but dreams, for nothing profitable. Therefore I am bent nothing that ways, for I look not to be honourable.
Lo, this is your common fashion, to truncate and destroy the verse style for your own... still for your own excusation... And will not the whole sentence rehearse? Somnia sunt prosus nil condescentia quando sorte magis quam virtute acquiruntur. They are dreams nothing profitable, but when by chance they are acquired rather than by virtue honorable. Whoso doth not desire honour, the same doth no virtue regard. For honour in good men evermore, for virtue is a just reward.
To laugh you compel me, in fault therein, wherein you did me charge. Most evidently in you I see, as I shall decline more at large. Turpe est doctore cum culpa redargiat ipsum. It is a foul thing to a teacher, when the same fault in him is found, which he rebuketh in other, himself first to teach, he is bound. I did truncate a verse, you say, your latter verse, now do you scand, and whether I say true, prove you may, or whether as a vex it may stand.
Certe magis quam virtute acquiruntur, et esto?
At esto. Have you found it at esto in your first rehearsal that did lack? You talk so much de honesto that you cast rectum in your... I didn't see that coming.
That's what he said.
Yeah,
That at esto.
I think we should pause and just sing that. So yeah, I'm sort of. Where did you find that bit?
Okay, for anyone listening, rectum actually means right.
Mm.
Yeah, so. Really, what he's saying is that what Josmus is accusing his more studious fellow of is casting. He talks so much of honesty that you cast righteousness or the rightness behind you, but that's not what it sounds like.
No, and I honestly think that is clearly a deliberate gag within that he's playing with you. He's playing with you. I'm sure that.
Uh-huh. Well, let's just see if he has a comeback, shall we?
Okay. That you cast rectum at your back.
That, at esto, beginneth a new sentence, which had been prolix to rehearse.
I perceive your Cortalux pretense. That sentence would your words requite, because you would appear faultless, taking upon you other to blame. What followeth, I will express earnestly, without mock or game. At esto, quod tanctum dictis tribulantur dic mihi non quid corporibus prosinct sine animis ni tantendum host inflant potest turna dios qui livis qui nec non solicitus redunt se subdere multis et severe solit multilis ambere precari monere largeri quisquis festa tua honores my former words I must again rehearse. For honour, I say, I do not much care. Thereto tendeth my former verse. Now these in English I will declare. Be it so, that honour and fame are given only to the worthy. What profit have men by the same? They profit nothing their body. What commodity are they to the minds? Even as much. They fill them full of pride, and make them as light as the winds, and fill them with care on every side. Many must one serve, and many flatter. Praise speak fair, and money pay. Stoutly he must bear out the matter, that will have honour at this day. Lo, whoso hunteth for honour, this disquietness he shall find. To the body a long dolour, and a continual sore to the mind. O bona paupertas, O nondum cognita deum, munera virtutum costus an amica pudori. O good poverty, O God's good gift, unknown is thy commodity. Keeper of virtue through thy shift, and a very friend to honesty, a mean state is surest of all. Dangerous it is high to climb. The mighty oaks have greatest fall. and the low shrubs grow out their time.
Your words be good, but you digress and decline much from my purpose.
Oh, go too hardly. Your mind express. Spare not your learning to disclose.
I counseled you lightness to leave and to give yourself to study. To virtue I would have you to cleave, commodious to soul and body. By examples ancient and old, steering up your hope, as I thought. But with sentences stout and bold, you have set my counsel at naught. As I could have told you by name of such as study in youth have loved, which have attained at honor and fame, and worthy men have been proved. Likewise of innumerable, I can tell you also by name, which of birth have been honorable, and yet their ends have been shame. Wherefore, this is the cause, for a truth, their time full idly they did spend, and would not study in their youth. Therefore, shame and dishonor was their end. Let all youth of idleness beware, for it is the stepdame of virtue. If you be caught once in her snare, all mischiefs beside will soon ensue. Otia enim formus vitiorum est, otia mentem ad malam ulta trahunt, oti comes ipsa libido est. It is the provoking of wickedness, to many mischiefs it draweth the mind. Uncleanness accompanieth idleness, no greater enemy to mankind.
You may perceive well by my words that I have not been idle alway, though sometime I set pitfalls for birds. I am not idle, as perceive you may.
Your goodly wit I do commend, and to praise God you have great cause. But I have seen that doth me offend, as I said in my former clause. Emollit otium vires, sicut rubigo ferrum. Idleness weakeneth the strength, like as rust does the iron fret. Quick wits it dulled at length, and breedeth infirmities great. Have you not heard men of gravity wish that they had learned in youth, and have bewailed their vanity, cursing themselves with their own mouth? Vidi iam juvenem premeret, cum ferior etas, morentem tardos preterisi dies. I have said, saith Quid, a young man, when with more age pressed he was, mourning in himself now and then, that idly he did let the days pass. Idleness bringeth in voluptuousness, whom good saints call the devil's bait. In voluptuousness is all wickedness, wherein youth to catch the devil doth wait.
Ah, yes, we're getting to the meat there, aren't we? You know, all this idleness, you know, it makes you weak, you're not exercising your wits, you're heading towards voluptuousness. Was that Ovid, by the way, do we think? Quid?
We've got
an unedited text, so there may be some typos.
Perhaps it was a misprint for Ovid. That
I can't think of a quid. I guess it was Quididius or something like that, I suppose it could be.
Yes. Earlier we said how being studious could bring you from humble origins to the height of society. Now we've said that if you're of noble birth, idleness can ruin you and bring you low. Mm. Moreover, idleness, as you said, it weakens the strength as rust does iron. Mm. And strength is what you need to keep your soul intact and steer clear of evil. Mm. So not only is his career in peril, his soul is in peril.
Yeah, my soul is definitely in peril.
It's in peril.
I think absolutely there's a lot of that, that potentially about there.
Mm.
Okay, let's continue. We must be relatively near the end, I think. An old proverb, young saint, old devil, which to you I may well apply.
Thus, rather, he that in youth is a drivel is a devil, or...
It could be a drivel, it could be a deliberate pun.
Thus, rather, he that in youth is a drivel is most like a devil to die. He that in youth no virtue will use, as the common proverb doth say, in age all goodness will him refuse, which to hell is the pathway. As no fruit is found in that tree whereon no flower did before appear, some age he can come to no degree, which in youth will use no virtue clear. Juvenes existence multa bona disque, many good things study and learn about folly.
Oh, me, Mr. Line.
Oh, bugger.
Menanda.
Okay. Juvenes existence multa bona disque. Wow. While thou art young, saith Menander, many good things study and learn about folly. Let not your mind wander. Give ear to wise men, which do you warn. Well may you be named Gelasimus, which scornful doth signify. For whatsoever good men discuss, you turn it to a scorn, verily.
Utterly indeed. For Spudeus may well be your name, which signifieth studious. You study to get honour and fame, so that you will become furious.
Not so. I trust there is a mean. I have learned to use modesty. Not so will I to study lean that I shall forget honesty. I study not virtue to acquire, fame and honour thereby to attain. Virtue for her own sake I desire, in whom alone honour doth remain. Propter se virtus, petitur non propter honorem.
I pray you let all this reasoning pass, and tell me this. May I not sometime play?
You remember what our talk was? As sleep and other rest, Tully doth say.
Oh, I'm glad of that by this day. I wish that my master so would say. Men use to rest and sleep every night, then so might I play every day.
Whether you may or no, you do. Yea, truly, and that without measure. And such wantonness you add thereto that none other in your play have pleasure.
In good faith, I play not other to please. I used to play for mine own solace.
But in your play you do other disease, and in so doing you do trespass. Est modus in rebus sunt certi denque finis, quos ultra citraque nequit consistere rectum. There is a comely mean in all things. There be other certain limits, Pite, beyond the which, if you do pass the strings, nothing that you do can be done right. In your play and in all your affairs, learn you honest manners to use, and let not idleness catch you in her snares, and evil company do you refuse. Corrumpunt etiam sanctus commercia prava. Evil company doth corrupt alway. Even those that be well disposed conceal no falsehood, night nor day. But of you let it be disclosed, serve God daily before anything. Fear him, beware his laws to offend. Honor, love, and truly serve the king, and where faults be, learn to amend. Your father, mother, and master, love, fear, serve, and gently obey. Of their goods be ye no waster, with truth help to get that you may. Of tongue and hand be you ever true.
And here the manuscript is damaged, or printing is damaged.
Something, something, oaths to swear. Something, something, do you rue. Something, 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 bear. Two more lines missing. And you shall never go out of the way.
I have not so little wit, good friend, but that I perceive your intent. I thank you both with heart and mind. Your counsel is honest and prudent. This one thing of you I would desire, daily that we may together talk, at such a time as you shall require, when you are best disposed to walk.
I shall be content with all my heart. Fare you well. God have you in his keeping.
Saying that you will hence depart, God preserve you, waking and sleeping.
Finis.
What I quite like about that is that, in a sense, they are working towards a middle ground to some degree, and that they are collegiate. They do say, "Yeah, let's keep going." You know, they're not hurling insults at each other.
It reminds me very much of Knowledge and Simplicity, in that these are fellow students, maybe even in the same year. In Knowledge and Simplicity, Knowledge seemed to be the elder, but it seemed to be sort of third year to first year.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, maybe doing their masters or something. You know?
Yeah, yeah. In this one, they might be contemporaries. And because it sounds as though Spodaeus knows Gelasimus well and has to put up with him being an utter clown in class and getting all the Latin wrong.
Yeah, well, that's possibly me. I do apologise for my Latin.
Well, it with this character, it works.
Yes.
And it's not that bad.
But yeah, it's there is some character here. It is interesting. I've liked this one. It's been quite enjoyable. It doesn't have a theatrical dynamic to it, but too much at one. But it's not very long.
No, it's very verbal, very cerebral, the sort of thing you might read aloud, but not necessarily do as a play. On the other hand, Gelasimus does strike me as a clown part.
Yeah, and there is a likeness of touch to the dialogue itself, and the Latin is necessary. I mean, that is the thing. It's not like it's where they simply quote something and then state its meaning. They do that, but they also then state how each other's getting it wrong, or they think they're getting it wrong. So some knowledge is required in a way that often with plays and Latin use, that's not so much of an issue. Whereas I think here, you know, we need to actually properly translate the Latin to actually have an opinion as ourselves.
Oh, for certain. We need to not only translate it, but source it.
Yeah. Just to confirm that they're actually talking correctly. Because, of course, just because they're saying it's, you know, Cicero or whatever, we should actually make sure it is and actually what the context is.
This is where this dialogue intersects with academia rather than with theatre. Because in academia, if you make a point or try to prove a point, one thing you do is cite antecedents. You cite older authors who support your argument. They're both doing a great deal of that, but Spodaeus points out that Gelasimus is trying to twist it to his purpose.
So if we take this to, you know, next steps to do an actual recording of this, you know, the spoilers episode is going to be quite complicated because we're going to be actually going, we'll need to go back and do quite a lot of, you know, additional work on that, which is cool, you know, just might move the actual production back slightly further.
Yes, indeed.
We've done this recording now. We've made a reasonable stab of it. I think we've got an idea of what's going on there. There is character, there is stuff, but there's also a bit more work to do than some of the others where we just go, ba-da!
Yes, yes.
We can't go, ba-da! Well, I can, I just have. But, you know, we can't just go, ta-da! With this one.
No, we really can't, even though you just have.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, all that remains is to thank Liza for helping me read
through
this particular dialogue on idleness. And I hopefully will not be idle in doing something more with this in the future. We shall see. I don't know. I don't know whether I have the energy or not. But Liza might be quite good, you know, want to do the work.
I'm very studious, yes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.